Everybody, this is the Office 365 Developer Patterns and Practices webcast, and this time it's going to be Patrick Rogers from the BMP core team to talk about cores and a SharePoint. So what does it actually mean and how you can take advantage of the, well, how you can do a workaround of accessing individual services or other services outside of the SharePoint as well. My name is Asa Juvonen. I'm a senior program manager in Office 365 engineering, and I'll let Patrick do the intros and take over the presentation.
Hi, Asa. This is Patrick Rogers, program manager, also with SharePoint Engineering now. I'm excited about that, and we're going to get into cores. So let's take a look at what we got. Over here. So what is CORS? CORS is cross-origin resource sharing. And this generally applies pretty much to browsers doing AJAX requests to domains other than where the page was served. So imagine I get something from my SharePoint site, but I'd like to call one of my existing other business sites that has a different domain. So I might be at mybusiness.sharepoint.com, and I'd like to call mybusiness.com. Well, browsers have something built in to sort of block that by default, because it could be a security risk in some ways. And let's take a look at why that's an issue. So security-wise, anything embedded in a page, because you might ask with cores, how is it any different than an iframe or loading an image or a script file from some other place? Well, that's done at design time, so the idea is that's okay. We trust that because we've chosen to include that in our page. Script tags, for the same reason, are okay. That's how you can have a public CDN. That's how you know, we can host all our JavaScript files, you know, out publicly in the web. There's a lot of different various repositories. Those are design time decisions, so the browsers trust that. Where we run into trouble is, say we download a script, and then that script asks our browser to call another site and get some data, which it could then pass back to its server of origin. So you might download a script that comes to you as part of an ad or something like that, and then that script, if it was malicious, might ask you to log into your bank and check your balance or do other nefarious things. So it's blocked by default. The other site can allow these things if it wants. So a banking site would certainly not allow these kind of cross-origin requests, but definitely your internal business sites and your internal, you know, SharePoint sites and things like that, there might be lots of cases where you want that. So there's a way to enable that in your sites, and we're going to look at that today.
Sounds good.
So how's it work in SharePoint? There's a couple of ways SharePoint, this story applies to SharePoint. So the main one, they're both main, I guess. One's better than the other, but the first one most people encounter, I guess I should say, is the add-ins. And this, generally is going to be the cross-domain library, and the web proxy, which we're going to look at both of those, and then the idea of a custom proxy page, which we're not going to look at today, but is the idea of just sort of putting a middle layer page that you control somewhere in the same domain and making your calls through it. But we'll look today at the cross-domain library and the web proxy, which are both built into SharePoint and enable core scenarios for slightly different reasons. But we'll look at both of those. And the other place it applies in SharePoint is embedding script directly in a page. We've got the script editor web part. You might, from your SharePoint site, again, we'll use that example of I want from my SharePoint page to just call to some existing business service. Maybe it's deployed in Azure, some other online, you know, data center, perhaps on-premises, something like that, but it's in a different domain. So we'll look at enabling those calls from SharePoint. So a quick resource slide. The top two talk about the cross-domain library and the web proxy. The middle one is on JSON Lite support in SharePoint. which we'll touch on that. That can impact performance, really help with performance, in fact. And then a link on enabling cores for your Web API MVC applications, which is the other example we're going to look at today. So without further ado, I know most people watch these for the slides, but let's go ahead and jump right into the demo.
What do you mean they look into this before the slides? Well, just kidding. It's obviously always the code which is interesting and explaining how can we tackle that course challenge. And I think this demo is actually pretty sweet because we're showing quite a different setup.
Yep. And so let's take a look at what we've got here today. And what we've got is this is an add-in for SharePoint, and it's a SharePoint-hosted add-in. So just as a quick reminder, those add-ins, when they get deployed, they get their own domain. They get created in that funny-looking GUID prefixed or postfixed domain, and so this is why cores applies to your add-in web. So anyone who has tried to get information from a host web in the add-in web has actually, maybe without knowing it, run into the cores issue. And the way we get around that is SharePoint provides for you the cross-domain library, and we're going to take a look at using that now. So to go through our code here, we've used jQuery, and we've used the deferred pattern that I'm a big fan of. We've used a custom onStart function, which folks could check out. We're not going to look at that today, but what that's doing is getting our page and everything ready to go for us, so we've bottled that functionality up. And then we've just chained together a series of deferred. So we can load all our things, then we can make our request, and then we can handle when it finishes or fails. So we're loading our scripts. And here's where we're doing the cross-domain request. So you can see I'm getting a request executor using the app web URL. That URL comes in as part of the query string. And then I'm setting up my execute async request. I'm wrapping all that in the deferred and then returning that out of this function. And that allows me to attach the done and the fail. So we're going to take a look at launching this real quick. Get our site come up here. The first thing I want to point out, you'll see up at the top, we're in a different domain. You can see the postfix here. And let's look at our cross-domain library page. Oh no, our request failed, not found. So let's take a look at why that might have failed. What happened is we tried to make a request to our list, but we did it using just the standard API. This isn't going to work because this API is actually pointing at our add-in web. So for REST calls, what we need to do is change that slightly. And so I wanted to show this. This is the first place I see a lot of folks run into trouble. And what that is, or that solution to that, is adding in this SP app context site to your REST queries. And what this does is tell it, hey, I'm trying to call back to the host web, essentially, and here's my context site, which is this at target parameter. And then we append that on the end here, and that is our host web URL. So again, we're creating the request executor with the app web. We're actually making the request against the app web, but we're telling it, hey, we actually want to make the request to the target web. And that cross-domain library takes care of that for us.
So quite quickly on that one, just to explain also what happens in the plumbing on the inside of the SharePoint. So SharePoint is going to get that request, and then SharePoint in the server side is going to execute that query on behalf of you. Right, Patrick?
Yes.
So essentially, we don't actually use the client-side operations to call the host web, which is in a different domain, because that's not allowed. So now that we call that with a specific REST call, the SharePoint server side will understand, okay, I'll make the call on behalf of you, and I'll get you the results. What are you asking?
Exactly. And one thing to look here, well, our request is now, we're getting a different result. It's red, so we know that's bad. And it's forbidden. Well, that's no good. Why would our request be forbidden? I have permissions to the site. I can read the data myself. Why would our app not be able to? And this is the one other place I see sometimes folks, you know, missing a step. You need to allow your app to have the necessary permissions to do the work it's going to do. Because this is an app making the call, so it's coming in as the app through the app web in this cross-domain library. It's your permissions, right? It's my permissions making the call, but it's also the app on my behalf. So we need to say our app can read the web, at least. For what we're doing, we're just doing read. Of course, all the various permissions are available here. And then the app-only calls only apply to provider-hosted apps, or add-ins, of course. So we'll just run this one more time. Give it a second to uninstall, reinstall again. And we're going to see a slightly different experience when we launch our add-in this time. Once we get it installed. So now we're seeing this prompt here. Do we want to trust it? Well, now we have to trust it because the app itself is going to be able to read some things from the site, and it'll list out all the permissions you've requested here. And you can see here, let it read items in this site. Well, I'm going to trust it because, well, this demo wouldn't be very good if we don't. And now if we look at the cross-domain library page, you can see we get all our results. There we go. So just like that, we've able from our add-in to call into the host web and get you know, an exciting list of results. And we know it worked because it came back green. So that's always a good sign. The last thing I want to show, and we won't launch it again, but I just want to mention this here. You've got some headers here. So this is accepting the JSON result. And one thing folks often use without maybe realizing what it means is this OData verbose. And what that sends back to you is a whole lot of extra metadata about the items you're loading. Folks that have done some JSON SharePoint stuff are familiar with that. And with the JSON Lite support, you actually have several options. And the one I like to use in scenarios like this is the no metadata. And that's going to give you back a very stripped down, just, you know, literally just the fields that we've asked for back. None of the metadata, no extra overhead, just a very small JSON package is going to come back. And you do have to, in that case, make one other small adjustment because you no longer are going to have that large the data object D results. You're just going to have a value coming back on your JSON data. So you would make that change there. So now we're going to look at the web proxy. And the web proxy is the same idea as the cross-domain library for SharePoint add-ins, but it works slightly differently in that it's for calling not to the host web, but calling to other resources. So in our example, we're going to call this public OData service here. Folks familiar with a lot of examples have seen the Northwind service used in a lot of places. But we're just going to call it because we needed a place to get data outside of our domain. So we're going to run our add-in. And as that's starting up, what we'll see, we'll go to the web proxy page. And, oh no, we got another red message, which is never good. And this message is something, another place I see folks, again, miss kind of a step in the process. And you can see right in the error message here, the requested URL is not declared in the app manifest. So this is another kind of permissioning thing. And what we need to do, not on the permissions page, but here on the remote endpoints tab, what we're going to add is just the root level for our services OData. Let me add that. Hit save. Launch this again.
Hoping that the network gods are fast today. But to be fair, this is much faster than the really, really old school SharePoint development with the server-side APIs. So. There we go.
All right, so once again, we have to trust it. We still have the permissions for the read. We'll go back over to the web proxy. And you'll see as we've gotten some results out of this OData service. And again, they're green, so we know it worked, which is always nice. And this is just some generic category data from that service. But so that's demonstrating, again, calling from our SharePoint add-in web out to some service and bringing that data back in. This service could be this public service, it could be an internal business service, you know, anything that you can pull information from, that web proxy will work. There are some limitations. It needs to be anonymous, the endpoint for that, I believe that's still true, and it doesn't support all the various headers. So it's generally going to be a GET kind of operation with that web proxy. So the last thing, last scenario we want to talk about is just embedding some script directly on a page. So I have here a little code block, which is just a very simple set of JavaScript where I'm getting from a CDN jQuery. And this will work because we're embedding it in the page. And then I've got just a quick little script block to go to an Azure website I set up and get some results. So what I'm going to do is on my page here, we'll just go into edit mode. I'm going to insert a script editor web part, a very powerful web part for folks looking to customize their pages easily. And so we'll just paste that in here. We'll hit save. And you can see here we've got a date back. Conveniently enough, this is actually calling. We'll take a look. This endpoint I set up. And I've also set up this other app, which is just a generic app that's calling our endpoint using the exact same JavaScript. And you can see here it also gets a value. And let's take a look at our endpoint. So we'll go into the values controller. So very simple, just string format, returning datetime.now. But the important thing to note here is we've added this enable cores attribute. And this is the process for enabling all this is described in that article linked in the resources. And this attribute is really all you need to enable cores. There's a NuGet package, you install that, and then tag or decorate your controller methods. And what these refer to is this first wildcard is the set of domains that this method will allow cross-origin requests from. The next set is headers, and the next parameter here is the methods. So what we're saying is anyone with any headers can call us using a GET request. But what if I want to sort of secure that a little bit more? I have a business service that I don't necessarily want anyone to make cross-origin requests to, but I do want it to be internal.
Which would so be much more typical, obviously, for a businesses in Office 365. Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. So I know I've got my SharePoint site that represents my business, and I've redeployed my Azure site. And so I want to go back, and on my home page here, this should still work. It does. So we're still getting our value. See it updating. But if I go back to my home page, This is the other app, so in a different domain. You can see now I get an error. And what this means is we're actually getting the request denied through CORS. So CORS isn't it's a browser level security. If I were to write something with like the HTTP web request object, I could call that other endpoint, right? It's not a security. So if you're really worried about security, you still need to secure that endpoint in the normal ways. But this is just sort of the most basic level of cross-origin security. So saying from a browser, we can't allow calls outside of our domain. So the calls get in from our understood business domain, but not the external domain, which I think is really important for scenarios like banking and things like that. It adds a little bit of extra security, you know, to help folks with some of that stuff. So that is a quick run through of CORS in SharePoint.
Quick question, Patrick, on the obviously in this particular case we used the script that did the web part, but obviously you could use the, let's say, the custom user action collection to set the JavaScript running there as well. So you could automate all of those things in, and let's say that your navigations are driven by business data coming outside of the SharePoint, you could take advantage of the similar approach, right?
Oh, absolutely. This applies to any of the ways you can get JavaScript embedded into pages. The core strategies we've discussed would apply there, you know, that scenario, business data, navigation. I've seen customers actually, you know, sort of create those one-page applications people talk about in a SharePoint page, but then all the business heavy lifting and logic is offloaded back to some previously running server-side things. So it's a way to kind of pick up and bootstrap older solutions into new SharePoint portals online.
And you could easily build something like, let's say, that you, within that web API, you connect back to your backend using Service Bus, and then you have a nice hybrid connectivity and you're showing data from your on-premises to Office 365 as well using a client-side technologies. So that's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You can get some really cool scenarios together once you can link back to like an Azure site from your SharePoint page. I've done stuff with media services, which can be really cool. You can actually enable CORS on your Azure storage accounts. That's not really part of this demo, but there's a PowerShell script you can run to get that set up. Yeah. So there's a lot of really powerful stuff you can do once you kind of get around this little browser limitation.
And one additional dimension, at least for me, because I'm always advertising this, but I'm a kind of an old school SharePoint developer, come from the server side, and the JavaScript isn't really natural for me. Well, I can write some JavaScript, but not as well as you can. But for me, actually, the fact that I can write a web API server side code is much more natural. So using this kind of approach, like you said, we can build a really nice single page applications or add-ins, which are then calling the web API, and still the server-side people who are specialized in server-side development can, let's say, still keep on writing the web API and server-side code in the Azure side, which is really great. And then there's the client-side guys who can and girls who can actually do the client-side presentation.
Yeah, and I've done many a project. We've divided it in just that way. The UX folks are very familiar with, you know, Knockout or any of those other libraries, can put together the UI and call, you know, just these endpoint methods, get the data, and then it just all kind of flows together. So it's another great way, you know, to enable teams to kind of rapidly develop these solutions as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Cool. I think it's time to wrap up the call. I think we're finally hitting the less than 30-minute time frame within this call, which is really good. Hopefully, we were not rushing, so people were able to follow up on what we were showing. The key point was to show about the cross-domain library and how to take advantage or tackle that challenge within the JavaScript. And thank you, Patrick, for great demos. And thank you, anybody who's watching the video. We'll be back with the new one sooner or later.
Thanks, all.